Blog Talk Radio.
I once was young, I could run the fields all day long. I never, ever turned back then, it seemed. But something surely wrong, Lord, helped me to travel on. The last few miles I've traveled on my knees. The multitudes, they came when they heard about his name. He touched them and his touch set them free. But in Gethsemane, he prayed, take this cup from me. The last he traveled on his knees. Lord, I traveled the last 2 miles on my knees. More and more I'm spending time there, it seems. Summer's come and gone, winter's coming on. The last few miles I've traveled on my knees. Someday you too will be just like me. When the spring of youth is gone, winter's coming on, you too will have to travel on your knees.
My brothers and sisters, is a gospel truth. The church travels on its knees. You and I travel on our knees. What do you mean? Well, we advance the kingdom of God when we pray. Jesus traveled on his knees. He was in Gethsemane. He traveled to Calvary on his knees by means of what? Prayer. And so the believer travels on his knees. The militant church, the church that is waging the good fight of faith, marches on its knees. And this is why we emphasize that Tuesday night prayer meeting is the most important service of the week. May I recruit you? You know, there used to be an old poster where there was Uncle Sam and his finger was pointing, and the poster on the bottom said, Uncle Sam needs you. Well, I'm trying to recruit you for Tuesday night prayer. Grace Church, the Lord Jesus needs you. We need you to join us on Tuesday nights. There should be at least 50 people on that call each and every week praying, believing God for the impossible. Tuesday night prayer meeting. Well, I am believing God. That's right. Call me crazy if you want to. Call me whatever you like. I am believing God for 1,000 members at Grace Church. I'm believing God. I can find so many passages in Scripture. I can find so many proof texts that would speak to my heart as a pastor and say, you keep working, keep sowing seeds, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We are encouraged not to be weary in well-doing, knocking on doors, inviting people to church, presenting the gospel of people is the greatest thing we can do for them. It's the greatest thing. So, this week's title is, can a 1,000-member church be established in one day? Can it happen? And my scripture text comes out of the prophet/evangelist Isaiah, who looked into the future in Isaiah 66. This is the last chapter of his book. He looks into the future and he sees the church. And this is what he wrote about the church. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child, referring to Christ. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children? Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut up the womb, saith thy God? Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, open our eyes to the truths of your word. Open our eyes that we may see in this prophecy of Isaiah a multiplying church. A church to whom God is adding daily such as should be saved. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Help us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By way of review yesterday, we started out with biblical questions and biblical answers. Listen, whenever there's a biblical question, you can't speculate, you cannot surmise, you cannot use human reasoning to come up with a biblical answer. Biblical questions demand biblical answers. The first question is, who has heard such a thing? Well, we heard it in Genesis 18, where God promises to Abraham and Sarah in their old age that they shall have a son by the name of Isaac. In other words, the church shall be perpetuated another generation. Why? Because God brings forth the next generation when he brings forth Isaac. So the first generation is Abraham. The second generation is Isaac. God will always ensure that his church doesn't die. Now, why churches die? Well, churches die because the leadership at some point walked away from the Lord. They possibly didn't even know that they walked away from the Lord. They stopped hearing from God. They stopped praying to God. And now it's all human. Everything that's being done is being done by human reason and human strength. And that will fail us. We need a miracle generation. Isaac was a miracle generation. God said to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, this time next year I will visit Sarah. She will conceive and she will give Abraham a son. And his name, God gives the sex. He'll be a boy. And God even says, this is the name, Isaac. Isaac. Who has heard such a thing? We have. The people of faith. The people of the Bible. This is not new to us. We know that God specializes in the impossible. Who has seen such a thing is the next question. Well, we have. We saw it come to pass. A year later, according to God's word, according to God's time, Sarah did have a son. And she was pinching herself. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe. It's all around town. Everyone has heard that Abraham is 100 and his wife Sarah is 90. And a 90-year-old woman is giving suckle to a newborn child. People saw it. No doubt people came from the north, the south, the east, and the west to see this baby. Because the word spread. The word got around. Two nursing home people on walkers just had a baby. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? We have. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Absolutely. We saw it in creation. God said, let there be, and there was. And each and every day, God called something that wasn't there to spring forth. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Yes. God did it 6 days in a row. He did it 6 days in a row. And when it comes to the new creation, when Christ died and was buried and rose again from the dead, people like seeds who had been planted in the ground at death rose again to life and began to visit their loved ones. Saints who had died in the faith also resurrected when Jesus resurrected. Because he said, unless the seed fall into the ground and die, it doesn't produce fruit. It remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. So on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the earth was made to bring forth what? Resurrected saints. And that will happen again at the general resurrection in greater number. When the Lord Jesus descends from heaven, with the shout, with the voice of the archangel. Listen, there shall be a shout. And when that shout takes place, the earth will be made to bring forth on that day by the millions, perhaps billions. I don't know how many people have come to the Lord from the beginning of time till now. It might be in the billions. All those people will be made to come forth in one moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall be made alive. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? We have. Do we believe that God can cause the earth to bring forth in one day? Absolutely, indeed. So today we have another series of questions. And you're possibly asking, well, what does this have to do with Grace having 1,000 members? Well, I'll get there eventually. I'll eventually get there if you just bear with me. So we're on page 2 of your outline, and today is Wednesday, May 24th. And again, we have a series of biblical questions to be answered with biblical answers. This is from Isaiah 66, 8b. It goes on to say, and let me read all of Isaiah 66, 8. It says, who has heard such a thing, who has seen such a thing, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day. That's the first part. The second part, or shall a nation be born at once? Shall a nation be born at once? Well, the answer is indeed, indeed. When did that happen, you say? When did that happen? Well, first of all, let me remind you that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called a nation. I don't know if you know that. But you take the Lutheran church and the Reformed church and the Methodist church, and you take all of the independent churches, you take the Baptist churches, you take the Episcopalian churches, you take all the churches that are right with Jesus, and you bunch up all those churches together, and they make up a nation. Here, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. Let's go there. 1 Peter 2, 9. This is what Peter says to a group of people like you and I. Peter's letter, this letter of Peter, was not written to Jews. He's writing predominantly to churches made up of Gentiles. The great percentage of the members of these churches that Peter's writing to all these people who are scattered, are mainly Gentiles, non-Jews. And to them he says in the second epistle, verse 9, he says this, but you are a chosen what? Generation. You see, my brothers and sisters, God is into bringing forth generations. That's what we're praying for. We're praying. The reason why we're praying for 1,000 new members is because if this generation dies, grace dies. If this generation dies without producing another generation, Grace Church will eventually, all the members that it has will die off, and there'll be no one to fill the pews. So this is why we're praying that God will give us a new generation of 250 children, 250 young people, 250 adults of marriageable age, family-producing age, and then 250 people like me. So think about this, saints. Think about it. You are a chosen generation. Wasn't Isaac a chosen generation? Indeed he was. God said to Abraham, let Ishmael. Listen, God, whatever you say you're going to do with me, do it with Ishmael. And God said, oh, no. I reject Ishmael's generation because he was produced by carnal means. God will have nothing to do with what the church produces by carnal means. It all has to be God's doing. And God said to Abraham, this time next year, I will visit Sarah, and she will conceive, and you'll have Isaac, a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think about that. What does a priesthood do? The main ministry of a priesthood, the main ministry of a priesthood is to intercede, to pray. So we're not just a new generation of church folk. We're not praying for a new generation of people. We just don't want to fill the church. We want to fill the church with people who would pray and intercede and call upon God without ceasing. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and here we go, a holy nation. There you go. A holy nation. So the question for today is, shall a nation be born at once? Can God produce a nation in one day, in an instant? You are a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, in which times past you were not a people, but now you are the people of God, in times past you did not obtain mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. See, he's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to people like you and I. Non-Jews. And God has called us out of darkness. He has called us to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 66. Shall a nation be born at once? Indeed. Who is that nation? Well, it's the New Testament church. We're going to read Acts 2 to show you how this nation was born in one day. Acts 2. Let's go to Acts, the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. We're going to read the entire chapter. That'll take us about 7 minutes. But I want you to follow along because we're going to start at verse 1. You have to appreciate starting at verse 1 because the church was born at once at Pentecost. Now, you have to remember that you had the feast of Passover, which is the feast in which Jesus died. Jesus is the seed. He's the seed that he refers to when he says, if the seed doesn't fall to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it die, it produces much fruit. So in other words, Jesus says, I must die at Passover so that at the next feast, which is the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days later, there will be much fruit. See, all of this was typology. All of this was prefiguration. So Jesus had to die. Jesus could not have died at Pentecost. Why? Because Pentecost is not the time to sow. Passover is. So Jesus dies at Passover, and then at Pentecost, he has the harvest. This is where he births the church. This is where the church comes forth on Pentecost. So let's begin reading.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
Now, what were they doing when they were in one accord in one place? Well, they're doing what we're doing now. We're praying every day with a major emphasis on Tuesday. That's what we're doing. We're praying to God for a harvest of souls. We're praying to God for 1,000 souls. We're praying to God for a mighty move of the Spirit. So, when does that come? It comes when a church has a Pentecostal season, when the Holy Spirit visits the church in power. When the Holy Spirit visits the church in power, it's because the church has been praying.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled.
Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
So they were all amazed and perplexed.
Whatever could this mean?
Others, mocking, said,
they're full of new wine.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them,
Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. But these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles,
men and brethren, what shall we do?
Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.
And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them,
be saved from this perverse generation.
Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
So in verse 41, 3,000 souls, 3,000, 3,000 from one sermon. subsequently after that daily, because they were witnessing daily. They were sharing the gospel daily. They were going to their version of the dollar store. They were going to their version of Walmart. Wherever they bumped into someone, at the doctor's office, at the library, wherever, at the post office, wherever they bumped into someone, they shared Christ, and God pricked people's hearts. And he was adding to the church daily. The church was witnessing daily, and the church was praying daily. Does it sound familiar? That's what we're doing. So, can a nation be born at once? Who is this nation? The church. We're a holy nation. Can God build the church at once? Can he give us 3,000? Sure he can. So for us to ask for 1,000 over several months, we're not asking the Lord to give us 1,000 in one day. We're asking for the Lord to give us 1,000 during this summer period so that they can incrementally be assimilated without wearing us out. We don't have the capacity to receive 1,000 in one day. We just don't have the means. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the harvesters. But over a period of time, if the Lord was to add daily, we can assimilate 1,000. We can plan. We can have meetings. How will we handle this situation? How will we handle the parking? Oh, these are exciting times. Shall a nation be born at once? Of course. Who is that nation? We are. Let me take you to the book of Hebrews. Because the next question in your outline is, who is Zion? It says here in Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed. So we want to find out, who is Zion? Well, Zion is another name for the church. Turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. Note what it says. Speaking to those of us who have come to Christ. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Notice, Zion and Jerusalem are synonymous. But ye, believers, have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, surrounded, accompanied by an innumerable company of angels, and angels you can't number, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Why? Well, because Jesus was the Lamb of God. The God-man was the Lamb of God. And Abel just had a regular lamb. And that's why the sacrifice of Jesus is far more advantageous, the blood of Jesus, than the blood of the lamb that Abel brought. So who is Zion? The church is Zion. As soon as Zion travailed, as soon as Zion started walking on her knees, marching on her knees, as soon as Zion got serious about prayer, she brought forth her next generation. She did. Remember Isaac when his wife Rebekah was barren? And the Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord. He prayed to the Lord for another generation. And the Bible says, and the Lord was entreated of Isaac. In other words, God heard and received his prayer and answered it. And what about Jacob? When Rachel came to him, he says, woman, am I in God's place? You coming to me to get pregnant? Listen, the fruit of the womb is truly from the Lord. You're coming to me, but you're coming to the wrong one. So it says, and the Lord hearkened unto Rachel. He remembered Rachel. He hearkened unto her, and she conceived. You see, as soon as Zion travails, she brings forth her children. One more scripture. Let's look at Galatians. In case you doubt as to who Zion is, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. And here there is a bit of typology in Galatians 4. Galatians 4, we'll start at verse 21, just so that we can get a little bit more of an understanding. Galatians 4, 21, even though the pivotal verses, key verses, start at verse 25. Galatians 4, 21.
Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children.
So notice, this is Paul. He says, let me show you a mystery. Hagar and her son represent the law, represent the Old Testament, represent all those who were in bondage to the law. Hagar and her son represent or are symbolic of the Jerusalem of today, the Jerusalem of Paul's day, which was what? He says, which is under bondage. Under bondage to whom, you ask? Under bondage to the Roman Empire. See, Abraham had two sons. One was produced by the flesh. One was produced by promise. The church, like Abraham, can go either the flesh way or the promise way. If you go the flesh way, it turns out awful. You have Hagar, you have Ishmael, you have the law, you have bondage, you have death. But now, verse 26, look at verse 26.
But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all.
That's what we just read in Hebrews 12. Zion is Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from above, the template of the church, which is reflected on earth. It's the template in heaven. The Jerusalem, which is of above, is the mother of us all. The church is the mother of every believer. Continue reading.
For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
You see, if the church uses worldly means to attract people to produce another generation, that's bondage. But the church who waits on a visitation from God to produce a spiritual seed that will remain. You know, when you take away the attractions, when you use worldly means to attract people, they'll stay as long as the attractions are there. As long as you have the circus and the merry-go-round and the Ferris wheel and the rides and the cotton can, the people will stay. Take that away and the place will empty out. But when you do it God's way, when Zion travails, when Zion prays, She brings forth her children. We are not of the bondwoman. We are not of Hagar. We are not. We are of the free woman. We are of Sarah and of Isaac. And that generation and all subsequent generations came into existence by means of prayer. So again, the question, shall a nation be born at once? Absolutely. It happened on Pentecost. Who is that nation? The New Testament church. As soon as Zion travailed, as soon as she prayed, as soon as she went into the upper room and began to intercede, she brought forth her children. How many children? 3,000. Who is Zion? Zion is the church, the heavenly Jerusalem. We'll leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow, saints. God bless you.
For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms resign, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven. Come home, my child. It's the last night you must trust. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms retire, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.